You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So as we gather tonight, our country is being destroyed more from the inside than out. America is on the edge of an abyss, and our movement is the only force on earth that can save it. This movement right here. What we do in the next few months and the next few years will determine whether American civilization will collapse or fail, or whether it will triumph and thrive. Frankly, like never before.
This is August the 8th, 2022. Those are the words of former President Trump addressing the CPAC conference and what the future holds for America if we do not set things straight sooner than later. As he was addressing that group, of course, I know a lot of those on the left were saying, oh, there he goes again. He's going to start trying to create fear and panic. The CPAC is the annual Conservative Political Action Committee. They took a straw vote. It's a straw vote, keep in mind. And Trump wins 80%+. DeSantis second. Trump also got something like 70%+ Hispanic vote. But, of course, all the Hispanics who were there were conservative. But how the mainstream media continues to look for any way and any avenue to denounce Trump and anybody supports him, that's what you're going to have to battle through in 2022 here, coming up on this election, and all the way into the next election. And I bring that out because now the Senate passed forward this monstrosity. They dare call the Inflation Reduction Act. I renamed it Inflation Reduction Comedy Act because that's what it is. And you could also simply say, well, it's just not named right anyway. The biggest deal that they make out of this, it's the biggest climate change bill ever. There's your bottom line. All the rest of it's just fluff and frill. It's a climate change bill. And to make sure we can afford all of it, while you've heard Biden say repeatedly, anyone making $400,000 or less will not be facing any new taxes, the Congressional Taxation Committee, a bipartisan committee, says, yes, they will. I'll go over the numbers for you again in case those of you have missed it. According to their numbers, those who make under $200,000 will be paying $17 billion of this new package. Those making between $200 and $500, I'd say that's where the $400 falls, they're going to be paying $14 billion of all of this. And, of course, it authorizes 86,000 more IRS agents. You got to stop and think about that. They're going to have that many agents. That means they are going to have, with that number, more than we have in the FBI, the Customs and Border Patrol, and a couple other major agencies. And why are they wanting to hire that many agents? Because they want to come after you, the small guy, and the small businesses. Because they know you can't afford a lawyer to fight them every step of the way. They might as well hold a gun to your head and say, pay now. We're going to break this down. There's a lot to break down over this whole aspect. But again, I'll tell you again, the Senate is claiming It will not be going after working and middle-class Americans. That is a lie. Maybe I need to calm down. Maybe what I need to do is follow the advice I saw in a New York Times piece. Yes, talking about 2 minutes of walking is surprisingly good for you. Now, they're saying after a meal is what they're trying to suggest. You could do 2 minutes of walking, listen to this program. I know that'd be good for you in the sense of helping you burn more calories or not. If so, take along a bottle of Jack, a big bottle of Jack. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Here's the big news this morning. Senate Democrats have done it. After more than a year of negotiations and dead ends, Democrats have passed a reconciliation package that includes a bulk of their priorities.
The yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
No Republicans voted in favor of the final bill. It passed with a tie-breaking vote from Vice President Kamala Harris. The final draft of the Inflation Reduction Act would invest more than $300 billion in the climate reform, the largest in American history.
There you have it. Even CNN and NNN, when they're trying to spin it and make it look like this is all good, they've got to crow about what we're doing to spend on climate change. And climate change is such a vague word in understanding. You can find scientists on either side if the Earth is really getting that much warmer, and if it is really seeing the sea levels drop or not. And then you can also find if they're going to blame man-made emissions or just natural, what we don't know about the Earth. Consider the amount of time man has been on Earth. Use my analogy I referred to. Take a yardstick. Put a sesame seed at the end of the yardstick. That sesame seed represents all of mankind. And everything before it represents the earth before we knew it, and man walked on it. But the other key that she pointed out, that was Brzezinski with CNN, and Joe, Coffee Morning Coffee Joe with her husband, pointing out that VP Harris broke the tie. And that is why I've told you and pressed on you constantly, you got to make sure you're voting this time around, and you make sure that you deal with some of these Republicans that are up for vote for election, especially when you start looking at the Senate. I have a list here. I'll probably have to get to it a little bit later because too much I want to try to get into here on some of these senators that you need to be aware of that are Democrat that you need to replace. Not one single Republican broke ranks on this Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. The facts of the bill, basically, the $433 billion Inflation Reduction Act is the way they're trying to bill it in some extent. $369 billion on energy and climate efforts. All of that, the green plan, green pie in the sky. $300 billion in green loan guarantees. And then we get into the other things, and a part of the green plan would be $9 billion in tax credits for wealthy families to buy electric vehicles. $1.5 billion to plant trees. Where's Johnny Appleseed when you need him? I'm not saying it's all bad. There's some things in there that might be worthwhile, but let me give you an example of how it's going to go that they just were not going to move. They were not going to change. They were going to push it forward regardless. Here's a perfect example. Prior to the Democrats getting it through and passing it, Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, obviously a big gas and oil state, proposed introducing an amendment to the bill that would have the Biden administration develop a gas and oil plan in the Gulf of Mexico based on the letter that Senators Manchin and Kelly wrote on March 31, when they wrote saying, "We are writing to urge you to develop and implement a new five-year program for oil and gas production in the Gulf of Mexico without delay." That was a letter again from Senator Manchin and Senator Kelly directly to the president. So on the Senate floor, Kennedy said, "My amendment would simply fulfill that request, make it a congressional directive." Senator Schatz, Democrat of Ohio, said, no, it could jeopardize the whole package. Kennedy said, "All my amendment does is take the letter from Senator Manchin and Kelly, well-written, well-reasoned, and make it a congressional directive. That's all it does." And when the amendment came up for a vote, Mark Kelly said, "No." He wrote the damn letter that Kennedy's trying to make a congressional directive. They were not going to yield on anything. And, of course, the spin machine went into full cycle. CNN.
The name of this bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, everything seems to be lining up in a way that has really brought this together for Democrats, hopefully, ultimately, in a way that Americans can understand, that they have been working on their agenda and they got it done.
Yeah, they've been working on their agenda, not your agenda. And therein was a slip of the tongue, possibly. They've been working on their agenda, and they got it done. That's exactly what they did. But again, when they want to call it an Inflation Reduction Act and throw that name around and say that this is really what we're doing for you, the American public, former speechwriter for Bush 43, Mark Thiessen, says it's a fraud.
The whole name, Inflation Reduction Act, is a lie. If you want to know whether this is a political winner for Democrats, just ask yourself, why did they call it the Inflation Reduction Act instead of the Climate Change Reduction Act? And it's simple, because they know that while climate change is the number one issue for most of their left-wing activists, only 1% of Americans say that is the top priority. And the fact is, the bill does not reduce inflation. In fact, the Penn Wharton model says that in the short term, in the immediate term, it'll actually nominally increase inflation. So if the Democrats went to the American people and say if they were proud of this, they'd be shouting climate change from the rooftops.
They would be, but they don't want it to appear that way because they know a lot of Americans are against making climate change one of the big issues. That's not the biggest thing they're worried about. They're worried about a JOB. They're worried about their wages keeping up with inflation. They're worried about the price of everything continuing to go up. Now, you might say, well, Thiessen, come on. He's a Republican, Larry. You know, he worked for Bush 43, so he would say that. May I present Senator Bernie Sanders, independent, who votes with the Democrats from Vermont, and what he says about inflation and what this bill will do.
I want to take a moment to say a few words about the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. And I say so-called, by the way, because according to the CBO and other economic organizations who have studied this bill, it will in fact have a minimal impact on inflation.
A minimal impact on inflation. There's Bernie Sanders calling them out. You don't get more far left than Bernie until you get into the squad and AOC. And he says, this does not do what you claim it does. But he voted for it. There's a survey out that was taken by a YouGov poll. They got released prior to this vote being taken. 1,500 Americans asked between July 30 and August 2 about their thoughts on this new spending baggage, not inflation reduction. The survey, do you think this bill will increase or decrease inflation? More than a third said it will increase inflation. A third saying it will increase it. 12% said, I think it'll decrease inflation. They don't know. They just got to go ahead and go with the flow of the leftist. And then you got 23% saying inflation will not change. And then you got the 29% that not sure. So when you put all those together, only 12% of those surveyed believe that the Inflation Reduction Act will do what the name says it will do. And then make note of this. The money that's going into taxes to provide more tax IRS agents, Senator Cruz says this is going to be targeting you.
This bill creates 87,000 new IRS agents. It doubles the size of the IRS. Those IRS agents are designed to come after you. They're not designed to come after the billionaires and the big corporations. They're designed to come after small businesses and working families across this country. The Democrats are making the IRS bigger than the Pentagon, plus the Department of State, plus the FBI, plus the Border Patrol combined. The IRS is going to be bigger.
That's pretty amazing, do you not think? Bigger than the Pentagon, the FBI, Customs and Border Patrol agents, all of them combined. In 2021, according to the Transaction Records Access Group, in 2021, the IRS audited those who make $25,000 or less. They were audited five times more often than those making above $25,000. Five times more often. That's what the agents they had on board were doing. And the Senate Democrats on a party line vote voted and rejected an amendment to their act that would ban the IRS funds from being used to go after. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? They voted against using a ban that would keep IRS funds from being used to go after working and middle-class Americans with audits and tax hikes. In other words, they said, no, we're not going to stop them from doing that. But here come two Democrats who claim, you have nothing to fear.
I think the IRS is going to target the highest income Americans, as the saying goes. That's where the money is. Yeah. That's where they're going to look to collect. Yeah. The idea that there's going to be this army of IRS agents defending descending on the average American is just preposterous.
Millions of Americans aren't going to be impacted by that other than getting better service from the IRS, having their telephone answer, getting the questions they need in order to comply with our tax laws. And if you have paid your taxes and if you comply with our laws, you should want to make sure everyone else does that.
Yeah, you want everybody to comply with the tax laws. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Paul Pelosi, those two Democrats that are definitely telling you, don't worry about it, little guys, you little people, you shop and business owners, you that are not big conglomerates, we can have a staff of attorneys on retainer. The first speaker, well, let me do it this way. The second speaker was Senator Cardin of Maryland. He is estimated to be worth $3 million plus. Is that pretty close to your average earnings? The first speaker, who said you shouldn't fear the IRS, they're not coming after little guys, they're going after the rich because that's where the money is. That was Senator Blumenthal, Connecticut, at last report estimated to be worth $80 million. You think they'll be targeting him then if they're going to go after where the money is? Don't hold your breath. Come on. Come on. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to be joined by John LaBoutier. I want to discuss primarily his book, Harvard Hates America. And I want to put it in contrast to George Orwell's 1984 and how close they are, and yet they were foreshadowing what we're seeing. But there's another part of this bill you need to know about. Capping cost of insulin. You'll hear Senator Ernst when we continue.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The skyrocketing costs of prescription drugs has become a matter of life and death for so many. We've heard the heartbreaking stories of individuals who could not afford their insulin, were forced to ration and skip doses, and as a result, they lost their lives. Iowans have been very clear with me where they stand on this issue.
Those are the words of Senator Jody Ernst talking about what happened when it came to a vote as part of the, well, this is actually her statements prior to the vote that took place yesterday about capping the cost of insulin on the private market. Senate Republicans blocked a $35 a monthly cap on the cost of insulin. But there were seven Republicans who did support it. I want you to know who those seven Republicans were, because we're talking about insulin cap, a cap, and I don't say just because I have a grandson who's been diagnosed with diabetes. I say it because I don't know the reasoning. I haven't had a chance to get into all details as to why the other Republicans were against anytime you can cap a cost of something that's vital, which, by the way, Senator Jody Ernst voted to not cap it, despite the remarks you just heard her make, how important it was. The seven Republicans who voted with Democrats were Senators Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Collins of Maine, Josh Hawley of Missouri, Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, John Kennedy of Louisiana, Murkowski of Alaska, and Sullivan of Alaska. They all voted, yes, let's put a cap on insulin prices. My daughter, with the grandson that has diabetes, has made clear that this is a very costly item for them. Give me one second here. very costly item, but it's got to be done. But I'm not saying it because it's a personal issue with me. I'm saying it because anytime you put a cap on some kind of pharmaceutical medicine, I don't understand why you wouldn't. They were just, that was one part of the measure, but it got only those seven Republicans supporting it. And now, Roman, I mentioned to you earlier, you need to be aware of these senators that are Democrat that are up for re-election here in 2022. Some of them are in very, very safe districts, so they're not going to be messed with, regardless of how they went and voted on this thing. And when they lie to you and say it's going to reduce taxes, and you find out otherwise it's not, when they lie to you, the IRS is not coming after you, you'll find out, well, by then, of course, you'll already cast your vote, but of the Democrats that are up for re-election, Kelly in Arizona, that could be a tight race, obviously. Padilla in California, another Democrat. Bennett of Colorado. Blumenthal, you heard from earlier, $80 million Democrat. He's not really worried. Warnock in Georgia, that could be a decisive thing. It's Herschel Walker, if they can get the Republican Act together on that. Brian Schatz, Democrat of Hawaii, the same one with Blumenthal, saying that you're not going to be targeted, only going after the very, very rich, which would be Senator Blumenthal right next to him. It makes $80 million. Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, another Democrat up for re-election this time around. Senator Van Hollen of Maryland, Nevada Masto, New Hampshire Hassan, New York Chuck Schumer. He's not obviously facing any real challenge. So he can vote this way and say, basically, to hell with you people. We're doing it my way. And Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon. And Pat Murray of Washington State. Those are, I believe, if I'm missing any Democrat, there are some seats that are open, of course. Oh, we got Leahy of Vermont. Most of those who are facing re-election, they didn't want to get anywhere near showing the other side of this. But they got to. And we got all these Congress members that are all up for re-election. Third of the Senate and every member of Congress. Keep that in mind. Coming up, John LeBoutier, former New York congressman, author of the book, Harvard Hates America.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Could be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong and start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and drink.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You simply go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to previous rumbles. You can push live and join us in studio. My next guest, John LeBoutier. We've had him on numerous times before. A Reaganite Republican, former New York congressman. Glad to have you on board, John.
Thank you, Larry. Great to be with you, and we're going to have fun tonight.
I know. I want to discuss primarily your book and the reasoning and what we've seen or not seen since then, but I've got, since the vote came down and we got this tie-breaking vote by Harris on the Inflation Reduction Act, quick few words from you and your thought on what it is. Is it inflation reduction, or as I call it, Inflation Reduction Comedy Act?
Well, I love the way they call it that. I mean, as if any bill is going to reduce inflation. I don't think so. But politically for the Democrats, there's a lot in that bill to run for re-election on in November, including for all those of us, including you and me, who are Medicare eligible to have Medicare negotiate with pharmaceutical companies to lower the cost of our prescriptions, including insulin. That's a big deal. That is a big deal politically.
I did point that out before you joined us, in that seven Republicans did vote to cap it, but the rest of them wouldn't. Why would they not go along with doing that? Do you have any reason?
I don't know. You know, I think that there are a lot of things that Republicans have voted against. I mean, why would Republicans vote in January for the burn pit legislation and then suddenly vote against it a month ago and then vote for it again last week?
Yeah,
There's no logic to some of the things they do.
And I don't know if it's wording or not, but I don't want to spend all my time on that. I really wanted to get, because we never had time to really get into the book you wrote. You wrote this book back in, you were, what, 25 years old? Do you remember then?
Right, 1978. So we're not on here plugging a book for your listeners to go buy.
But it is available.
it's available, and it's called Harvard Hates America, and that title may be the best part of the book. But
that's from the author.
I was an undergraduate at Harvard College, and then I was a student at Harvard Business School and wrote the book. And it came out while I was still a student at Harvard Business School.
And I want to point out the other part of the title is the story, basically, I don't have exactly, you would know it, a born-again American.
Right. And because what happened to me, and this happens to a lot of young folks who go to school, I get to Harvard in 1972. Nixon's running against McGovern. I'm not a political person at all at that time, but Harvard made me political because every discussion in the dining hall, in the dorms, even in class, had a political taint to it, and it was all left-wing. I mean, Harvard was loaded with liberals. They loved McGovern. They hated Nixon. And that's fine. Have any opinion you want. You and I don't care.
Right.
Opinions are opinions. But what I didn't like, and this is what has changed me forever, is hypocrisy. So I would see a professor preaching left-wing stuff. I can specifically tell you one that was quite famous. And he's preaching all this liberal stuff. And then I learn later he's married to one of the richest women in America. And so they live one way and preach that you live another way.
It wasn't Kerry, was it? He wasn't a professor there.
No. This was Marty Peretz.
Oh, yeah. That's who,
Marty Peretz was a government professor at Harvard.
But all liberals do that.
In 1972. Well, yeah. And
you're an Ivy League school, so you had to know you're going into that pit. Or did you really think you're going in and it's going to be just a real education as opposed to an indoctrination?
I was 18 years old. You think anybody at 18 even thinks about political stuff on campus is going to be this and that? No. And it wasn't known as well then as it is now how professors use the power of the grade, Larry, to indoctrinate their students. And I saw it in several courses where if you regurgitated the left-wing opinions of the teacher, you got a higher grade than if you objected to the teacher and you fought him. And I fought this guy in class and in my papers and didn't go along with the Marxism he told us he was going to teach. He told us on the first day, I'm going to teach American history with a Marxist perspective.
So that was very clear.
That was when I was 20.
Well, at least that was very clear.
Well, yeah, but I don't really think that's how it ought to be done.
You did a follow-up piece with the Hill magazine on opinion piece. Basically, does Harvard still hate America? That was what was the date of that one? Do you recall off the top of your head? I had it.
I don't know.
You said 40 years after you had published the book. So that would have been around early 20s or in the late 1900s, I should say. Not 1990, something like that.
Yeah, whatever it was. I mean, I do think Harvard generally still hates America. When I say hates America, I mean American values. Number one, the whole time I was at Harvard and up till recently, a Harvard student was not allowed to be in ROTC. I mean, they could be in it, but they couldn't do it at Harvard. They had to go over to MIT to do their military drills. and you could not have your graduation picture taken in your military uniform. Now,
since you brought that up,
Since
you brought that up, may I read a piece from an Adam Goldenberg who wrote for Why Harvard Hates America, and this was 2008, speaking specifically about that. He said, any Harvard student with the balls to participate in the Reserve Officers Training Corps, ROTC, deserves our respect. But apparently it's still going on like that, right? Or do they even have it?
I think they've stopped it recently. Yeah, okay. They've lifted it, and you can do it again. But that, to me, that was when I found that out, I was just disgusted by it. And because prior to that, Larry, Harvard had a tremendous record of service in the military by their students and their alumni, the most famous of whom, probably JFK.
Yes.
Obviously.
Which wouldn't
fit. The idea that Harvard's students couldn't put on. But by the way, JFK would be a conservative
Republican. That was my point. I was getting ready to say he would not be welcome in today's party, which brings us forward because I said that your book, and we're going to discuss for the audience George Orwell's 1984 in the next segment, but your book and his foreshadowed what we're seeing now.
Well, mine is I didn't really foreshadow.
Well, but what you were pointing out, then we'd all recognize them, where then we didn't until you put the book out, many of them.
Right. And what's happened is that I could only write about Harvard, obviously, because I only went to Harvard. But so many people have come up to me over the years and said, you know, I went to some other school, had the same thing happen to me there.
Right.
I mean, I got this constantly. That's college. It turns out in the 40 years since then, this rot has spread downward into high school and elementary school. And I think it's one of the good things Republicans have adopted lately is this idea that we're going to get back into the issue of what is going on in the classrooms and in the schools of our country. Because what goes on in there will affect that young person for their whole life. And parents do have a right to know what's going on in there. And this thing called critical race theory, they don't necessarily always call it that, but a lot of it is taught in schools all over this country. And it's subtle, and it's done carefully, but it is done.
And transsexual stuff, and for age-inappropriate children getting some of that stuff. And they've taken the words like, And I'm not trying to get into a Trump issue with you or MAGA, but make America great again. What's so wrong about that? We should be nationalistic. It's our country. We want to be great. You don't have to put it under a Trump banner, but unfortunately everybody gets latched onto something. In your final 30 seconds,
By the way, let me use part of the 30 seconds
Sure.
just to say this. I don't think we ought to be teaching a lot among young people of too much political stuff because I think we ought to teach them the simple basics. Reading, writing, math, computers, and when their brains develop enough to think critically, then let them learn how to think. But what goes on now is these teachers are telling kids how to think.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong. And a lot of kids react like I did. You know, Harvard wanted to make all of us into liberals. They made me into a conservative.
Blame them. John, great. And folks, it is available still on Amazon. Harvard Hates America. And the way you say you reached that conclusion, and I do think it foreshadowed things, just as Orwell's 1984. John, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thanks, Larry. It's fun. Talk to you again soon.
You bet. John LeBoutier. George Orwell, 1984, next.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down on my
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me correct something very quickly. You just heard a promo saying if you want to call the program, they gave you an 800 number. We don't do that anymore. And I'll tell you why, because we come into this program loaded with so much material. Well, I don't have time for callers. A lot of folks think, oh, just open a microphone and talk and talk to people. No, you got to prepare for this one. That's why it's very difficult to find somebody to fill in for me. And I also want to take a moment to thank John LeBoutier for his time again and his comments. I'm the one who said that I think the book Harvard Hates America, which was published back in 78, that he said that it was, you know, at that time, he said it wasn't meant to foreshadow anything. It just what he had seen at just Harvard. But he says, I since found that it's everywhere and all the way down now to grade schools below. So while he wants to be humble and say, I wasn't trying to foreshadow anything, I think he did with that writing. The same as 1984 that was completed and published in 1949 by George Orwell. Takes place in an imagined future, 1984, which we've been through now, haven't we? That we've fallen victim to perpetual war. We don't have that. Omnipresent government surveillance, especially if you are a conservative, our own government would activate, as we've seen already, the FBI, the DOJ, the Attorney General, weaponize them to go after any political candidate or party they want to dismantle or put in disrepute. Historical negativism, that would be pretty close to ripping down all the Civil War statues, that if you rip them down, history disappears, you rewrite it. You can't do that. And propaganda, which again is what we're seeing all the time. I remember in high school, only a select few were allowed to actually read 1984, and we had to have a special teaching about it, if I recall right. I may be off a little bit on that. I might have that confused with Catcher in the Rye at this point. But the bottom line was he came up with things that are now have become common usage. Big brother, doublethink, thought police, thought crime, newspeak, 2 + 2 = 5. So there's a lot of parallels that now we draw from 1984 to what we see happening now. Mass surveillance, violations of freedom of expression. Time did include it, the novel on its list of the 100 best English language novels from 1923 to 2005. And again, I point out, keep in mind, 1984, when it was written in 1949, that was looking out, you know, 40 plus years ahead, almost. And as we approach 1984, folks were worried and concerned, are we going to fall in that? Have we already at that? And look where we are now. 2022 approaching 2024. And a lot of what was being foreshadowed by George Orwell in 1944 as he began writing the book, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? By the way, a quick background on that. The early title for it was The Last Man in Europe. He wrote most of the book on the Scottish island from 47 to 48. He was ill with TB. Got the final manuscript sent in. That's published June 1949. Orwell wrote about hesitating between the title The Last Man in Europe and 1984. The publisher decided, let's go for the other one. I think it'll work better, which it did, of course. And then, of course, you had Animal Farm, which is also there. All of these, for a while, got banned, challenged, subversive. And now we look back and say, the plot wasn't that far off, was it? Again, 1984, civilization ravaged by world war, civil conflict, revolution, and totalitarian superstates, three of them that rule the world. All called the party. This is why we need to stand up for this country And when someone says, if you're a nationalist, you're an evil person. No, I'm not. I love this country. And most of those from all over the world trying to get here illegally, if they're not coming to cause crime, they're coming here because we are the one country everyone wants to live in. I don't see that many breaking into China or Russia or North Korea. Do you? I don't see many breaking into, as Trump called them, the hell holes in some of the other parts of the world. And we've done it by God's blessing, but it also took man's effort and willingness to share and shed blood. This program is mainly for patriots. I don't care what your political stripe is. If you're a patriot, you and I are in lockstep, and that's good. Coming up in the next hour, more on this so-called Inflation Reduction Comedy Act.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.